folks. Welcome back to Amazing Avenue Audio. Happy opening day. We are back with our opening day spectacular. We're doing things a little bit differently this year. The purpose of this podcast today is to be used as your sort of pregame for the opening ceremonies, you know, for the announcement of the lineups and the first pitch and all that. That's all fun. But if you're anything like me, about 10 o'clock, you start getting the shakes. You want the day to start. And so this is meant to be started 1.5 hour before opening, before the opening ceremonies begin. Before, what's the word I'm looking for, Chris? Not opening ceremonies, the pregame ceremonies, I guess?
Yeah, the opening day festivities, maybe.
Yeah.
I think ceremony works, but yeah. Well, festivities sounds more like something Howie Rose, who MCs this, would say.
Right, yeah. Yeah, so I'm Brian, this is Chris, and we're here to take you through the Mets opening day and hopefully have some fun with it along the way. So, Chris, are you going tomorrow?
I am not. I considered it, but for a variety of reasons, I'm not. I am going to take the afternoon to watch the game at home on TV. And, you know, it's opening day is funny. If I go, I'm all about it. If I don't go, I'm all about not being in the crowds and
agreed.
Just watching it on TV. Yeah, like, give me a playoff game crowd. I will stand in every line and, you know, even a good bobblehead, maybe, you know, I'll deal with it. But opening day, I guess it was just never like drilled into me that, you know, like, okay, got to do opening day every year, you know?
Yeah, I've only been probably 4 or 5 times. And while it's fun, it can be terribly cold. It can be a pretty poor game because, you know, everyone is still in their early season malaise. And, you know, the adrenaline always only takes you so far. But we're trying to keep this like I said to a half hour. And so it's 28 minutes before the start of the opening festivities. So if you're at the ballpark, get in line for some food right now. If you are at home and you want to order some food, pizza, wings, whatever you like, now would be a good time to place that order so it arrives. So you don't have to get up in the middle of the of Howie Rose announcing all the Mets. So yeah, that's what you should be doing right now, food wise. If you're listening to this, when we hope you are. But yeah, what was the last opening day you went to, Chris?
I went to the home opener last year, which I believe was not opening day. I think it was the, you know, they started on the road and came home, if I remember correctly.
That sounds right.
But if I'm going with the best one, it was when I flew down to Florida for 2008. Not spring training. Mets at Marlins. Johan Santana makes his first start as a Met.
Oh, wow.
That was something that it turned out it wound up being my wife, but girlfriend at the time. And I took the trip with a diehard Mets fan friend of mine and sort of made it, you know, Florida, beach, alligators, and that game kind of, and it was just a quick trip, like 3 days, 2 nights. But yeah, that stands out just because of the effort and the uniqueness of it. But my dad and I have been to a bunch of them. Like, we didn't go to a ton of them, you know, growing up or anything. We went to plenty of games, just not typically opening day.
Right.
So we've been to a bunch of them over the years, but it's not like I have a lot of close Mets fan friends who it's like the religious, you know, gotta be there, like, you know, and yeah. I get it. Like, I don't knock it. It's just, I can enjoy it both ways. So,
to me, there are way, way better ways to spend your opening day than necessarily at Citi Field. I know that's blasphemy for a lot of people, but that's, you know, it's just the way I feel. The last opening day I went to was in 2011. And it was a particularly bad day. The Mets lost, which is never a fun opening day.
And a rarity on opening day for
them. Yes, and it was like bitterly cold. But also, it was right after my 10th high school reunion. And I reconnected with an old friend I haven't seen since graduation. And we made dinner plans because she lived in the city. So I was like, oh, you know, after opening day, we'll meet for dinner. And she said, oh, that's a great idea. So I thought it was going to be this like casual, just like having dinner. And I walked into the restaurant we were meeting at, and like 15 of her friends were there. And they were all like in blazers and dressed really nicely. And I was in a David Wright jersey. And they were all horrible, horrible yuppies. And yeah, And then I getting off the bus coming home, my iPod fell out of my pocket and the bus ran it over.
Oh, haha.
It was a really bad day. So
Yeah.
I've kind of sworn off opening days since then.
Hey, I don't blame you.
Yeah, rough day. But anyway, let's talk about the pitching matchup. So for the Mets, we obviously have Noah Syndergaard. I think every Mets fan is happy that he appears to be, throwing gas nice and free and easy. He's taken off some of the excess muscle and some of the crazy off-season workout regimen he was doing last off-season. So that's a good thing. Overall, are you most excited about Syndergaard going into the season?
Yeah, so it's a funny thing. Every year I have somebody I like better than DeGrom. And typically in the end of the, by the end of the season, I should say, it's DeGrom who leads the team in BWAR, which I think is probably the best combination of actual performance that happened on the field and durability and all that, right? So usually it's DeGrom who ends up there. But as great as he is and as talented as he is, and if you told me my answer to who pitches the one must win game might be a close call, but overall the Syndergaard stuff just, yeah, that it kind of overwhelms me a little bit, I think. So
He seems like a video game pitcher.
yeah, no, and it's just obviously he wasn't healthy for much of last year, but when he was, this is a guy who it's very tough in a league that has Clayton Kershaw in it to say Cy Young contender about anybody.
Right.
I mean, Dickey beat him for one, but I think Syndergaard is on that level that, if he stays healthy, he's capable of putting up an ERA in the low twos. Kershaw sometimes ends up even better than that, but to even be saying something seriously like that about a guy is a very high compliment. So yeah, it's I my excitement is adjusted appropriately. I'm like 5% less excited about DeGrom than Syndergaard, but yeah, that's my dude.
I mean, I think that's a fairly reasonable take. Even if you're a huge DeGrom fan, DeGrom is, I mean, it might turn out that DeGrom is the much better pitcher at the end of his career, that he's put together this consistency, this consistent, career of just above average seasons and staying healthy and all that. But I don't know if DeGrom will ever be as exciting on a game-to-game basis as Syndergaard is.
Yeah, and that it's a great debate to get to have.
Absolutely. By
Once
the way,
upon a time, there
we
were
should
other
say, by
members
the
of the
way,
debate.
yeah,
Yes,
we
go
should say
ahead.
we are 22 minutes from the opening ceremony. So if you are at the ballpark, now is a good time to get up and get to Garden State Brew. No, what's it called? Empire State Brews. The beer.
Right, yeah. So who knows exactly where they've placed them, but the Empire Craft beer stands are good, not to be confused with Big Apple Brews, I
Right.
think, which is maybe where some of that that came from. But yeah, the Empire State Craft beer stands, last year they were behind like 519, 520, and in the left field corner where
Yeah.
Keith's Grill used to be.
Right.
Keith's Grill moved, so who knows? If you find either of those two things and you're kind enough and listening, tell me where they are before I go to my first game.
Yeah, nice
But
point.
the Empire State Craft one is good. And my 2 second review, the MacKellar Brewery is excellent. And I'm under the impression that the MacKellar beer that's served in the stadium should be canned in the stadium as well.
Oh, wow, that is fun.
They are canning there, so I don't know why they would do anything other than
Right.
bring it inside. So
Yeah.
yeah.
So get your beer, is what you're saying. If you're at the ballpark, get your beer.
Yeah.
But yeah, you were saying about how great it is to have this debate over two, truly excellent starting pitchers. And it is such a nice thing for us to have. And even for a team that has been blessed with quality starting pitching over its entire run, this still seems like it could be a special 1-2 combination.
Yeah.
So, Chris, why don't you tell us a little bit about who's starting for the Cardinals tomorrow?
So it's, well, if you're listening right now, it's
Oh,
today.
today, today. I'm sorry, yes.
But yeah, well, Carlos Martinez, he's a pretty decent pitcher. I don't want to undersell him too much here.
He's all right.
But yeah, hey, I mean, he's been durable over the last two seasons. 15-16, he had an ERA in the very low threes, 3.01, 3.04 last year. 3.64, not uncommon for a pitcher to see his ERA rise given the way that home runs changed. And like so many other guys, his home run rate almost doubled from what he had pitched previously. So yeah, I don't know. It's probably unfair to knock him too much for the things that happened last year because part of that was just whatever. I mean, the baseball, it seems pretty obvious, but whatever the cause was, that players were hitting home runs at record rates, it seems to have victimized him a little bit. So this is a good pitcher. You could absolutely take him on your fantasy team. Not that that's like the best measurement, but this is a good guy. He is not in the Syndergaard tier.
No.
It's not even really close. Like on the Mets, he would clearly be the number three, and he'd be over every other candidate for the three by a wide margin, going into this season. But he also wouldn't be sniffing the one or two. So, that's not an insult. But it's not like the days that Adam Wainwright was, top five pitcher in baseball, ace type guy
Right.
atop their rotation.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty fair assessment of his stuff. What I think is interesting about this Cardinals team, and interesting is the wrong word based on what I'm about to say, but just how I feel like there hasn't been a real marquee Cardinals rookie or acquisition in the last couple of years, and yet I still feel like the Cardinals are just one of the best teams in baseball at churning out, new talent all the time. And
Right.
looking at this lineup, like I don't know if any of these players were playing for the Cardinals 3 or 4 years ago. Maybe, I guess Yadier was obviously, but was anybody else on this team a Cardinal 3, 4 years ago? Colton Wong, maybe?
Well, in the organization, yes.
I mean, on the major league squad.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Well, let's double check. Carpenter's been around.
Yeah, oh yeah, he has.
He's like the quintessential Cardinal dude.
Yep.
So he's a long-term guy. Wong has been on, I mean, he made his debut in 2013, but from 14 on, he's been there. He really only had his first like good hitting season last year.
Right.
What else? I mean, Marcelo Ozuna is certainly,
He's a
he was a
new acquisition,
revelation
yeah.
last year. Right. Oh yeah. No, he certainly doesn't fit that. But Fowler spent time elsewhere for a long time.
Jerko came up with the Padres.
Right. And Pham is a relatively new guy.
Yeah. What I was just saying is they're a remarkable team in just how consistent they are at producing new talent.
Yeah.
Even without a superstar,
Right. Oh yeah, no, yeah, that's always been their reputation. And I think for them, so much of this season probably depends on if Ozuna is that superstar.
right.
And it's easy to think he could be coming off of what he did last year and the Marlins finally stopped messing with him and just let him play and then got rid of him like half of well all the really the best players on the roster, but
Yep.
half of the starting lineup. So
Well,
yeah.
yeah, if you're watching the game at home, it's 15 minutes or so before the opening festivities, and so this is a good time to put on SNY. Just in the background, have a little bit of Nelson Figueroa and Gary Appel, in case anything interesting happens, in case Bobby V shows up, 15 minutes is probably enough of background pregame stuff for you. So put on the game now if you are if you're at home. So we should probably talk a little bit about the Mets lineup as well. And we kind of went more on the pitching than I thought we were going to do there based on my crude timeline here. But the Mets are starting Brandon Nimmo in center field and leading off tomorrow. The
Yep.
lineup goes Nimmo, Cespedes, Frazier. Sorry, Nimmo, Cespedes, Bruce, Cabrera, Frazier, Gonzalez, Plawecki, Syndergaard, Rosario. So this is already a very different look than you got with Terry Collins as manager, with Syndergaard batting eighth and with Cespedes in the two hole. What do you think of the, I know lineup construction is one of the most overrated things to talk about, but we're gonna talk about it. What do you think of this lineup on
Yeah,
paper?
no, it's still good to see one that is constructed well. So, yeah, I love Cespedes hitting two. I love just right up, from the beginning of the season. We're not gonna be constrained by sort of the orthodox labels that are placed on certain spots in the batting order. You've seen some reactions of like Asdrúbal Cabrera is the cleanup hitter. Like, oh, this team is doomed. Over the top. Doesn't really matter, what those traditional names for those spots were. And like, I get it. I get why they existed, and I get why it's hard for people to shake them, but they're just names, So like you have a lineup in this particular version of it, because it could change. A catcher, it could change, a center fielder, it could change. It might change soon once Conforto is back.
First
But
base, hopefully soon.
yeah, that the only thing that concerns me about the lineup is that Adrian Gonzalez is in it.
Yeah, that's fair.
Everything else about it is fine. I'm totally on board, and I just like, you've got you're sort of repeating yourself in a way here. You've got a high on base guy in the leadoff spot in Nimmo, Cespedes, who's clearly your best hitter with Conforto out, right behind him, best hitter, hitting second. It's something that we know is generally a good idea. And then Bruce can hit for power. And then you kind of reset a little bit with Cabrera, who's had a pretty good on base percentage the last couple of years. And because of that, my go-to metric is weighted runs created plus, OPS plus, is pretty much right there. So because of his on base capabilities, he's rated as a better hitter over than Todd Frazier for the last couple of years. And then that combo is nice to have. So you go, you have high on base power, pretty good on base power, a black hole at first base, and then, Plawecki and Darno are going to get a lot of crap from Mets fans for not being superstars. But if they're both just league average hitters and decent defenders, that's fine. So you, and Syndergaard obviously is a very skilled hitter. Curious to see, if the Mets stick with pitcher hitting eighth beyond this. And then you have Rosario at the end. Mickey Callaway said that he liked that it takes some pressure off of him, and it gives him a guy who is more of a traditional leadoff hitter, in the speed sense, and who's at the bottom of the order and can be a guy who, when he gets on base, could be a threat to score with Cespedes and Bruce not too far behind him in the order. So, yeah, sign me up. I'm on board. If they want to do some similar lineup to this for most of the season, Gonzalez is really the one roadblock to making a lineup that makes everybody happy every day.
Yeah. The other thing about the lineup that is nice is, you have a fair amount of lefty righty going on, which I know is a bit of an overrated move early in the game, but late in the game it's nice to know that you're not going to be able to necessarily have a lefty come in and take out, three hitters in a row.
Yeah.
So it's a small touch, but it's a nice one.
Yeah, no, and that helps. It's not the most important thing, but when you get it, it's a nice bonus.
Absolutely. So we have an email today from a first time writer, first time long time. He says,
Yeah,
"Hey,
we don't get that phrase too often, but
no, we don't,
I
but we
like it.
yeah, love it. Random thought I've had for a while, thought I'd drop a note. I really hate the blue jerseys at home and wish they would go back to the plain white of the early 2000s or even the pinstripes, which is obviously still used here and there, but I can understand the hesitance to use that with the obvious relation to the Yankees. Other possible suggestions? We could do something similar to Detroit's jersey, D, with the Mets style NY instead. No pinstripes. Something classic, simple, not the mismatched bright blue circus uniforms they've been wearing for a few years now. I feel unnecessarily crabby and old writing this email, although I'm just 22, so maybe I'm an asshole. I figured you guys and other listeners have opinions on the subject, and I'd love to hear them. Please pardon me if this has been gone over in detail. No, it hasn't. Anything but the blue jerseys at home. Thanks again. Let's go Mets. Rob. Well, thanks for the email, Rob, first of all. I am on record as saying that my two least favorite Mets looks are the black jerseys from Days of Old.
Yeah.
Although a lot of folks have a soft spot for those. I'm not one of those folks.
Yeah, me neither.
But I really disliked the two-tone hat, the black hat with the blue brim.
Yeah, I owned one, but
I now
dislike it. Yes,
exactly the same situation. And they wore that with just like the snow white uniforms without the pinstripes for a long time. And so, even though I have fond memories of a lot of those teams, I really don't like those jerseys. So I'm actually fine with the blue jerseys because it's not the black jerseys.
Yeah, there you go. My response was going to be: are you familiar with the work of Jason Fry? friend of the site from Faith and Fear and Flushing is really not a fan of the blue jerseys. I don't love them. I don't hate them. One minor thing, just in terms of like what they've done in the past, they have really gone with just the pinstripe home as being sort of the standard.
Yeah.
They've worked in the blue maybe a little bit more often than I would like, but I like the pinstripe blue being the go-to. And I would be curious to see a mock-up, but you know, you look at this Detroit D jersey, it's very simple. You know, it can have a kind of old fashioned look to it. I don't know. I'm kind of curious to play around with it in Photoshop.
Do you remember, geez, this has to be like 2010, maybe. There was an alternate they wore very briefly where it was all blue with just an NY on it.
Yeah. It was one of the, like, sort of, was it a Negro League jersey or like in the spirit of?
I think it might have been, yeah.
Like, I forget whether or not it was. I'm just rusty on it. A friend of mine has one.
I tried to Google it before, and it's hard to Google that. It's hard to put into words what you're trying to find.
NY there. Mets jersey.
Right, like, exactly.
Oh, okay.
But that was a decent alternate. But personally, I wish it was the cream-colored pinstripes all the time.
Yeah. Give me that and the road gray.
Yep, exactly. And the blue tops are fine for maybe, I don't know, something special. I'm going to revise my earlier statement, Chris, and if we're going to remain friends, I hope you're going to agree with me with this. Huh. Worst jerseys were the camo jerseys.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, no, that's not even close.
I didn't think so. I didn't think this was going to be a friendship-breaking moment. But yeah, we should say, by the way, it is 7 minutes from the opening festivities, so if you're at the ballpark, go ahead to your seats now. You can always get a hot dog later or Pat LaFriette a sandwich, something, but you know, you don't want to miss Howie, so get back to your seats now. So real quickly, let's do some predictions here. Chris, who's going to be the first minor leaguer called up?
I'll just be consistent with the brand here on the podcast, and I'll go with Guillorme.
All right. I can back that up, too. Who's the first player sent down? Presumably when Conforto comes off the DL, who's the first sent down?
Right. I would go Evans.
Yeah, I think that's the obvious choice as well. Although maybe we'll get lucky and there'll be I guess it'll be the answer to my next question here. Who's the first player released?
Man, they don't really release guys. But let's just say Gonzalez.
Yeah, let's be optimistic on opening day and say Gonzalez. who's the first player they trade away, you think?
If things really go south, one of the relievers, Familia, Ramos, Blevins.
See, I've heard rumblings about Lagares being on the trading block.
And yeah, so, that's true.
I'm going to say Lagares for this one. What's the first team they're going to sweep?
The Cardinals.
Good answer. Who's the first team that's going to sweep them?
the Cardinals.
For whatever reason, I feel like the Mets have been bad against the Dodgers the last few seasons. So I'm going to say the Dodgers will be the first team to sweep them.
Unless it's the playoffs, in which case.
Well, yeah. Exactly.
But yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Let's talk about let's give out some preseason awards. Who's going to be the team ace this year?
Syndergaard, I think I've established here. And just sounded like you agreed.
Yeah, although just to be different, I might say DeGrom.
Yeah, 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 that works.
You know, even though I think it's probably Syndergaard. Who's going to be the team MVP?
Conforto.
Yeah, I just feel like if Conforto can be what he was last year, that's a damn good player.
Yeah.
But I will say, I think there's a case to be made that with even just a slightly above average offensive season, Amed Rosario could be an extraordinarily useful player for this team.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
So I'll go with Rosario just to keep things a little different. Most effective call-up, the guy that will make the most impact after being called up.
Well, I guess I'll stick to my reliever thing and Gerson Batista. I just liked what I saw in spring training. This could be a terrible pick, but I feel like he's a guy who can get major leaguers out. So yeah.
Speaking of a terrible pick, I'm going to say Zach Wheeler.
Oh, right. He's a,
I'm going to say that Wheeler maybe puts it together in the minors and comes up and is a good pitcher.
Yeah. Yeah. No, that's a pretty reasonable pick, and I forgot he was in the minors, even though I wrote about it like a day ago, but I forgot about that already.
Who's going to be the worst player for the team this year?
I don't think Reyes is going to get famous last words here. I don't think Reyes is going to get enough playing time to qualify for that. He'll be starting at a position by like April 15th. I know, yeah. But yeah.
So, somehow they're going to call up Guillorme, and he and Rosario are going to get into a crazy collision, and Reyes is going to have to play both short and second for us at the same time.
But I guess, I mean, I hate to just make this the beat up on Adrian Gonzalez episode, but I really don't see another option. Even Reyes, as much as I am like way beyond ready to move on, I can see him being more useful. Just doing certain things reasonably well.
Reyes has more potential spots in the game where you can use him, either as a defensive sub late or as some speed on the base pads, or you know, a guy who can maybe get on base for you in a pinch hit situation. You know, it's a if Gonzalez isn't hitting and it looks like he's not, then what good is he?
Right.
All right, here's what I thought up earlier today. What's going to be the most annoying thing about Mickey Callaway by the end of the season?
I'm going to say, and we're dealing with a small sample of managerial quotes and whatnot, but I'm going to say injury updates. Seems like he got pretty testy about that, and he hasn't really come off that way about anything else. So I'm going to say that he's not going to have a lot of patience for it. And that may be one thing he has to learn, the reality of the organization he's in.
Yes. I think that he's going to be like sickeningly positive. And I'm going to get tired of his positivity after a while.
Okay.
And he's just going to be a guy who can't take reality. Like the opposite of Willie Randolph. If you recall with Willie Randolph, like somebody would have a good day that asked him about it and say like, well, he's a baseball player. And they'd be like, no, there'd be no effusiveness at all. And I feel like Callaway is going to effuse over everything.
Yeah, we should have a pool for the first time he calls somebody a baseball player.
Oh, that's a good one. All right, the over-under is Sunday. What do you take?
I'll take the over.
I'll take the under. Okay. It's for a beer at our first Mets game.
There we go.
Okay. And speaking of beers, it is 30 seconds away from the first, not the first pitch, the opening ceremonies. Thank you guys for listening. This was kind of a fun, different show to do. And we hope that you're with us all season. We hope you go to AmazingAvenue.com where we have so much going up today. It's a crazy day on the site. Check out all we have to offer. And we look forward to you being a part of our community over the course of the season. You can follow both of us on Twitter. I'm at Brian Needs a Nap. Chris is at Chris McShane. You can find Amazing Avenue on Twitter, on Facebook, and Instagram at Amazing Avenue. Go to blogtalkradio.com, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, wherever you get your podcasts, you can find us there. Email us podcast@amazingavenueaudio.com. Any last words, Chris?
Let's go Mets, and
Let's go,
that's
Mets. That's it.
it.
Enjoy the game, folks.